This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'm Abby Hornacek.
This is Tucker Carlson.
And I'm Jessica Tarlov. This is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, April 14th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. Russia's military makes blunder after blunder in its attempt to overtake Ukrainian fighters. And now Ukraine strikes a big military victory. How can Russia and Vladimir Putin save face?
Taking a shot at the flagship, hitting that flagship, right? Being able to stop, supposedly the second best military in the world from taking your capital in Kyiv. These things are unexpected, and the Russians are not really clear about how they're going to respond to it, except with the one thing they know how to do effectively, which is carpet bomb city.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
It's been evident that Russia's military was woefully unprepared for its attempt at taking over the nation of Ukraine. And it's even more obvious now that Russian President Vladimir Putin either can't manage his own war or is surrounded by incompetence. Yet he's not ending his assault. Ukraine's military isn't backing down either. And within the past day, the Ukrainians scored a major win. They claim it was missiles they fired that laid waste to the Russian Navy's flagship in the Black Sea. Russia claims it was the result of an onboard fire.
In either case, this is bad for Russia, really bad.
Matthew Schmidt is an international affairs and national security professor at the University of New Haven. He says the attack on the Russian ship and the arrival of new assets from the West could signal a change, putting Russia on its heels.
It either shows complete incompetence on the part of a crew that's supposed to be their top-tier crew, or it shows that the Ukrainian military was, in fact, able to effectively take out not just any ship in their line, but the flagship, in their line of service out here. And that's just extraordinary and must make them nervous about future operations up and down the coast. If they're thinking about Odessa, for instance, or they need to continue to solidify where they're at as this war changes phase. But this is absolutely a devastating loss for Putin. And as to your point about outside help, I would suspect so, but again, I have no special knowledge on it.
Well, I say the idea about outside help because one of the things that the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, had been asking for is armaments and missiles. And there has been a lot of hemming and hawing on the part of the United States and on NATO as a whole to with what exactly they wanted to supply. But here they are conducting what is a pretty advanced strike on a pretty big target. You mentioned that this is not good for Vladimir Putin. None of this war seems to have been good for Vladimir Putin. There have been they have demonstrated their ability, I think, the Russians, to inflict brute force, but they have not really made much in the way of an accomplishment here. And I'd like for you to talk about that, because there is a difference in blowing things up and getting what you want out of a war. And you would know about this.
Yeah, so if you go back to Clausewitz, right, the purpose of using military force isn't defeating the enemy military. It's defeating the enemy military in order to achieve some sort of political end state, right? Take over that country's political system, for instance. But you can defeat an enemy military and not win, right? Not succeed in that. We've seen America do that, for instance, in Afghanistan, right? We won every battle, but in essence lost the war strategically. And that's what Russia is facing here. The war is changing right now. What's happening is that Russia is trying to flip the battlefield. It came out, it worked hard on the offense, and then was stymied, right? And wasn't able to get all the way to the goal line on this. And now what they're doing is they're racing back east. They're trying to establish a line of contact that encompasses a larger set of area than they had before. And they're critically trying to move in on the defense, right? Trying to dig in and establish their defensive position. Why are they doing that, right? They've taken enormous amounts of losses. But in particular, they've lost a lot of junior officers. These are the officers that would lead offensive operations, and because they're more complex. But if they move on the defense and they're able to settle themselves in there, they need less capable officers, right? Second and third tier officers, which is what they're going to get when they bring in this group of conscripts that will be coming in sometime in mid to late summer. And so that's part of the strategic thinking of the new general, right, of Voronkov. The other thing is, though, he's going to have to operate like he did in Syria and essentially blast civilian areas, because he has never commanded in a situation where he's had to compete against, right, effective defenders. He didn't have to do that in Syria. So now he's facing a situation which he's not prepared for, and we'll see how it comes out. But these kinds of things, getting in there, taking a shot at the flagship, hitting that flagship, right, being able to stop, right, supposedly the second best military in the world from taking your capital in Kyiv. These things are unexpected, and the Russians are not really clear about how they're going to respond to it, except with the one thing they know how to do effectively, which is carpet bomb cities.
You made an appearance on Fox News Channel some time ago, and you made a very interesting statement, and I'd like to recall that for you. You said that the war would end in the streets of Moscow. If you remember that quote, and in the context of how you said that, I'd like for you to expand on that. Surely you don't believe that the Ukrainian army is going to be marching on Moscow. That would seem like a bit of a feat for them. But you mentioned, I think what you meant was that this war ends at home for the Russians one way or the other.
That's right. Again, all wars are political, right? All wars are fought to establish who gets to decide how a society disperses its resources, right? How it is structured, what its values are. And in the end, and that ends maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, it may be 10 years from now. In the end, Russian society has to decide that they reject to give their consent to a Putinist style government. That's the only way that these kinds of wars are going to stop, because they are endemic to the style of government that the Russian public suffered under for the last, you know, almost 25 years. There's nothing short of overthrowing Putin and his regime that will end this. Everything else is simply a pause.
You've been listening to Dr. Matthew Schmidt, a professor from the University of New Haven in Connecticut, specializing in national security, here on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with Dr. Schmidt straight ahead.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What has these past weeks here revealed about Vladimir Putin that we might not have known previous to this? It looks as if he's not the premier strategic warrior that I think a lot of people had painted him as. He doesn't seem to be the very smart but devious former spy now leading a major world power. He's not coming across as this major man in charge the way he always had that image. What would you say to that? Yeah.
No, that's right. People who are real students of Putin, real students of, the former Soviet Union, never thought he was a strategic genius. If you look at what he's tried to do, for instance, with his spy services, right? He's had one botched assassination after another, right? It's a huge failure to try to kill the leader of your country's, you know, opposition movement, fail at it, right? And then have to arrest him, but be so beaten in terms of the public relations game that he's stuck inside a prison and still able to get his message out. That's a massive failure, just to name a number of them, right? What Putin does is that he gets panicked and he throws things at the wall and he sees what's going to stick. He doesn't have a good ability to think about, if I do Operation A, that leads to Operation B, and then B leads to the thing I want to win. He simply says, I'm going to create instability in a system, political system or military system, and I'm going to see what opportunities arise, what the military calls targets of opportunity. And he's going to grab one, and he's going to run with it. And he can be successful at the tactical level, but he's consistently unsuccessful at stringing together, you know, three or four tactical successes into a strategic, reaching a strategic aim. He has no real strategy, right? He's not a strategic thinker in that way. He is what he was when he was in the FSB, is that he's clever, he's not particularly smart, and he's not a student of, you know, deeper causes and deeper strategic structures and contexts. So he cannot really manipulate them well, especially with a military and a security apparatus that is not allowed to think independently because they're so terrified of him, right? Again, to flip this all the way around, one of the major reasons that the Russian military isn't performing like it should is because it has no real NCO corps. It doesn't train people well, right? The reason the Russian Air Force is getting bested by a smaller Ukrainian Air Force that's flying inferior airframes is because those Ukrainians had more time in seat, right, behind the stick in training than the Russians did. And in the end, it's a man or the woman out there that makes the difference more than the weapons system. And that's a failure of his military culture. The reason that convoy collapsed coming in from Belarus is because you didn't have NCOs back in Russia making sure that the oil was changed and they had the right kind of tires on.
By NCO, you mean non-commissioned officers. You mean basically the shift supervisors in a military, people making sure that the little bit work that needs to be done gets done, even though it may seem menial, but it's necessary for the effort. That you're saying that's just not happening.
Yes, but I want to push again because this is going to be critical to the next phase of the fight. Is they're not just shift managers. When that young lieutenant comes out in the U.S. military, in any NATO military, the first thing that young officer's, right, senior officer says is, shut up and listen to your NCO, right? Your NCO has been in the field. Your NCO will teach you how to lead these people. That doesn't happen in the Russian military. It's more than just shift managing. There's a weak culture of leadership. There's no culture of independent action. Why are the generals all getting killed? They have to go down to the front in order to make decisions because no one else is willing to make them or can make them because they haven't been trained at it. It's those things that defeat the military. It's not better weapon systems because the Ukrainians don't have it. And they're not going to have it. I'll say one other thing, if I can just ramble on here.
Sure.
Right? This decision by the Biden administration to send in up-armored Humvees is likely to be transformational for this next phase. Because when the Russians transition to the defense, they're not only protecting themselves to some degree from bad junior officers, because on the defense, it's easier to do it, right? The order is basically hold the line. You don't have to deal with complex offensive ops. But it's also a harder position to assault, and what you really need are tanks. Now, the U.S. won't give tanks. NATO won't give tanks because it's too provocative. But doing this workaround with up-armored Humvees may just work. They may be utilized like tanks in order to cut through or even to flank Russian positions on this line of contact if they can get them in theater fast enough. And you know, again, that's one of these things that the West knows. We trust the Ukrainian military to be well-trained enough to say, here is this relatively complex vehicle. We'll send some, you know, we'll do some training out in Poland, or we'll send it to people that have already been doing training with our National Guard troops for the last 8 years, and we trust that you can figure out how to use it to your ends. The Russians can't do that.
Dr. Matthew Schmidt, Professor of National Security at the University of New Haven. Thank you for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.